Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to Journey to Your Higher Self. I'm your host, Crystal Melville. Today, we will be continuing the love series, and the topic for today is a servant's love. A servant is love. A servant is one who performs tasks under the direction of another. A servant is one who is a willing vessel, who is a free person, a person who is enabled and equipped to perform with the highest amount of integrity, humility, and guidance. Guidance from their master. Guidance from the person who gives them the allowance, the ability, and the instruction to perform. You see, the purpose of every believer, every child of God, is servanthood. Yes, we were created for servanthood, to serve God, to fear Him and give Him glory, and to serve one another. How do we do this? What does servanthood look like? Servanthood is the giving of oneself. It's the giving of one's time, one's resources, skills, knowledge, wisdom, one's gifts. These things are given freely. Servanthood has no special time. Servanthood is not a 9-to-5 task. Is not a seasonal task. Is not temporary. We are always engaging in the act of servanthood, whether we believe it, whether we understand it or not. For example, the CEO of a company is a servant. Yes, the CEO of a company, the boss, the founder, the president, whatever names that you allot this position, that person is a servant because they are called to instruct, train, inspire, and impact their employees. This is servanthood. This is work. I know in our culture, we are so we're so engaged in one another's titles, in a person's ability to perform. We're so engaged in accolades. You know, we're so engaged in who can do this or that better. But we're all servants. We were all given, at the time of our conception and birth, the ability to grow, to become who we're supposed to be. And these things take time. These things require skill. They require guidance. They require support. It's a process. The process of servanthood, it requires time. It requires nurturing, education. It requires patience. It requires partnerships, a community of people who understand what needs to be done. And these people work together to achieve a common good for a common cause. And I'm sure as you're listening to this right now, you're probably thinking, wow, where have we gone in the world, in our nation, in our communities? We have gone so far from servanthood. So we already talked about the CEO being a servant. Aside from the CEO, we have the president of the United States or any country. He or she is a servant. We have prime ministers. We have kings and queens. They are servants. They serve the people. They have an active duty. They have an active office in which they carry out assignments. They are diligently working for the people. You have managers. Then you have skilled workers, people who are skilled at a craft and do it well. They are also servants. A musician is a servant. If you know the story in the Bible well of David, King David, God's king, God elevated David to sit upon his throne. But before that, before David became king, he was a servant also to King Saul, the king that preceded him. And David, as you may know, was a musician. For he played the string instruments in Saul's court, in his ear, in his environment. And he did that to comfort him. So he was King Saul's servant. So a musician is a servant, as are teachers, nurses, doctors, lawyers, engineers, accountants, even actors and actresses. They serve in their capacity, within their craft. They perform a duty to inspire people, to comfort them as well, to bring joy to them, to make them think and feel, to impact their lives. All of this is servanthood. What about parents? Parents are also servants. They're servants of God because God gave them the authority to procreate and to nurture his children, his offspring. Parents are a servant of God, their children, and their community. You know, there's a bigger picture here, and I think we miss that. We miss the mark. We are to serve one another. When we hold the office of a parent, a father and a mother, in the highest esteem as we should, we will realize how powerful that role is and how we impact not only those within our view, within our home, but within our community and the world. What we give back to the world is a testimony unto the work of servanthood. How well we parent our children is telling. And I think that we lose sight of that. A servant is someone who takes notice. They are present. They adhere to every detail. They ask questions. They work on becoming better at serving. This is a very high position. This is a powerful position. for some reason in our society, we look down on people who have the title of servants, such as a maid, a butler, a caregiver, you know, a garbage man, a janitor. For some reason, these positions, people tend to look at it as a servant. But we're all servants. We're all serving people. You know, as parents, we clean our homes. Right? So why, you know, why do we look down on these positions? Well, we do it every day. Why do we do that? You know, we really have to take a look at the way we think, examine rather the way we think, the way we speak. Does everything that we say correlate with our actions? Does it make sense? And we tend to desire the more prestigious positions. Why? They're no different than that of ones that we deem as a servant. The fact is, not everyone will be a president, a king, or a queen. But we all matter. Who do you think cleans the White House? Who do you think prepares the food? Who do you think writes the speeches? Who do you think coordinates the events, the trips, makes the phone calls? How can one person run a country by themselves or lead a nation by themselves? That can't happen. It's just not humanly possible. It's just not humanly possible. So every person that we come in contact with on a daily basis, that work for us, around us, with us, they are important. It doesn't matter what position they have. If that person, if the chef and their staff, if they don't prepare the food properly, someone can get very sick and possibly die. If a teacher who is also a servant isn't qualified, isn't motivated, isn't passionate, doesn't care about the children, do you know how negative an impact they will have on your child? Which is why, as parents, we need to really appreciate the teachers, because they actually parent your child for 8 hours a day or more sometimes, you know, considering the aftercare or even the early morning pre-care before the school starts, when you have to rush off to work. Someone is looking after your child. So I suggest that you be very kind to them. You know, you encourage them. Maybe even give them a gift once in a while. Let them know you appreciate them. So a parent is also a servant. And then the child grows up to become a servant of God if we train them right. And they become, and they also serve their parents as they get older. And then they go out into society and they serve in their communities and the world. You know, this is a circle of life. We all impact one another, whether we believe it or not, or understand it or not. No matter how we view another person, it doesn't matter the race of the person, where they were born. We all impact one another. So it's important to value our roles. And the last example I will give here as a who is also a servant is Christ our Lord. He was his servant. He came to this earth to die for our sins. You know, he bore our sins in his body. He took those beatings for us to give us hope that no matter what we're going through in life, we can handle it. We just need to look to him for as our only source of hope and strength and perseverance. Because just as he overcame, we have already overcome. We just need more faith. We just need to realize the roles that we have. We need to be more grateful, more understanding. The Bible says that Christ washed his disciples' feet. That's an act of humility. He served them. He taught them. He trained them. You know, everyone wants to be the best. But we have to learn how to be the best. We have to learn that to be the best, we must be humble, patient, and that we must learn from someone else. You know, there's a quote, actually it's a line in a movie that I watched a few years ago. And the teacher told the student who was, you know, very prideful and, you know, he wanted to be the best and he could do this and he could do that his way. And he told him, in order to lead, you must first learn how to follow. You know, everyone wants to be the best. Everyone wants to be a leader. But how can you be a leader if you're not first a student? You have to learn from someone. And I suggest that we learn to be the best student ever. Folks, another thing I would like to point out is it is in the home where all forms of service is enacted. All forms. Teaching, mentoring, planning, coaching, healing, giving, community, governing, marriage, fellowshipping, laboring, internships, preaching, evangelism, prophecy, forgiveness, you name it. Everything is learned and enacted within the home. This is the place where a person learns to be a servant. They learn to give. As a child grows and matures, they get over being selfish, or they should. We need to teach them that. We need to teach them to share, to give, to forgive, to say, I'm sorry. Mentoring should be first seen in the home. We need to mentor our children. Teach them, of course. They're not only depend on schools and colleges and universities to teach our children. Or even at church. Your child should hear the word of God from you first, from the parent. We should teach our children how to pray. We should be delivering the first sermon that a child hears. We should teach our children how to be a friend by being a friend to them, but still being their parent. We should be better listeners. We should teach our child how to be a community, how to be a family, a true family, sharing, caring, giving, inspiring one another, learning from one another, asking questions, giving answers, sharing. Sharing is caring. Within the home, the child should learn what a marriage looks like with both parents that love one another unconditionally. That even if they disagree, they will do so without being violent. They will do so respectfully. You know, and they will turn aside and discuss things privily and, you know, without this big confrontation and drama and all of these things. You know, I'm saying this, but in reality, these things should happen. We need to work at it. No home is perfect. No home is perfect. This is not a fairy tale wish. These things can be done if we put in the work. If we work at it. If we put in the time. You know, I keep hearing people saying, oh, there's not enough time in the day. I'm busy. I have 2, 3, 4, 5 jobs. I just want to provide for my family and give them a life I never had. But the thing is, if we get ahead of ourselves and forget that we are servants, we are called to serve, and that our first priority should be to God and our family, then how do we explain to Him when we lose our children, when they go astray, when we get divorced? How do we explain that? It's because we didn't prioritize. We forgot that we were first called to serve. We were called to serve, to be a servant, not a job seeker. A job is a temporary fixation in one's mind. Because the first thing you think of is, oh, I have to get up at this time, I have to be there at this time, and then at the end of this set time, I'm done. That's a job. And when you have that mindset, it's going to be very hard. You're going to impose stress, you're going to impose panic and worry and anxiety, because you will know that you have to perform the duties within this set time. But when you go in with a servant mindset, you will know that this is what you must do. This is what you're called to do, regardless. And you will be the very best at it. It's all about mindset, folks. Everything is about mindset. And, you know, a lot of us are older. You know, we've had many experiences in the workforce. We have families. Some people have grandchildren. Some don't. You know, but the thing is, we know better, I hope. That's the thing. The world is old. This is 2017 now. When are we going to really get it? When are we going to understand there are repercussions for our disobedience, for not fulfilling the role as servants? We created the mess that we're in, honestly. There's such a lack of insight and understanding and a desire to be better. And when I say better, I mean to really do the right things. It's all about where we place our value, you know. What do we prioritize to be the right things to do? You know, we're so career-driven, we're so work-driven, we're so needy and always worrying about paying the bills and doing this. If I don't, have we forgotten that God has provided for us everything that we need? The problem here, folks, is our faith. A servant is a faithful person. They are full of faith. They put all their faith and trust in God to give them the provision for them to perform. And they don't worry about what they're going to eat or what they're going to drink or where their monetary compensation will come from. Because they know that once they perform according to their master's requirements, according to God's will, God is just to provide for them. God does what he says he will do. Okay, let's just get that clear. You know, we are not supposed to be taking matters in our own hands to make things happen. When we do that, we lose our way. Stress takes over. And oftentimes the things that we do, it's really evil. It's really, it doesn't bring about a solution. It rather creates more problems because we do it in our own way. We do it in our own flesh, in our own limited understanding. See, when we do things in our own strength, our own way, that's not being a true servant. That's being a troublemaker. That's being a disobedient servant. That's being unruly, causing discord, thinking a certain way. You know, and as a person gets older, you know, we should begin to see life for what it really is, in spite of what we were taught growing up. Because when you have eyes to see, your eyes typically don't fail you. They don't fail you. You see right now what it is. People will always try to give their own explanations for why something is. But if your eyes are fully open, you will see for yourself. You know, and I really propose that we take the time to look at our actions, our daily actions, the way we view life, people, our surroundings, the things that we do. I really want us to take that time to view what is the most important. What are we leaving out? What are we missing out? Let's not ignore it. Let's face it. Let's stand up tall. Let's, you know, stand up in faith. We've become such weak little things over the years, over the centuries. Where is God in all of this? We have to have faith. A servant is obedient. They do as they're told. There's nothing wrong with doing what you're called to do. There's nothing wrong with that. So let's not make it a problem. Let's not make it a problem. Ephesians 6 and 7 tells us, or rather empowers us to serve wholeheartedly as if we were serving the Lord, not people, because we know that the Lord will reward each and every one of us for whatever good that we do. Whether we are a slave or we're free. And God also goes on to caution the masters or those who are in charge of people, in charge or those who govern people, those who oversee. It says to treat your servants in the same way. Do not treat them Do not threaten them, rather. Since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven. And in heaven, there is no favoritism. Wow. That is powerful. Because what that just said is, basically, there's another scripture that answers that. It says, the first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. So for that given moment, this person may be your master, but at another moment, you may become their master. And that's the same thing that I mentioned earlier when a parent is called to serve God and their children. And in one day, that child will grow up and they will serve God and their parents. So at any given time, the tides can change and the tides will change. So we all have to really understand what a servant is, what it means to be a servant, because this is our purpose. This is our purpose. When you wake up in the morning and you get up, you have your devotion, you look at the world, you look at the things in your life that you are doing. Ask yourself why you're doing it. Ask yourself why and for whom and what are you getting out of it? What is the purpose of it? You know, measure what you're doing. Measure the outcomes, the results. And oftentimes when you look at your life, where it is, the different components such as your health, your happiness, your peace of mind, your resources, that's a good way to tell if you're being a very good servant. Add to that your family's disposition, the quality of your relationships. These different markers will let you know if you're a good servant, if you're serving as you should. So, a servant's love is one that pleases the master. They are content with their lot. They are always joyful. They are always patient. They're kind. They're not boastful. They don't insist on their own way. They're not prideful. They just exist to be. They always are loving. And these are the characteristics every human being should aspire to be. These are the characteristics that we should inspire to pass on to our children. It doesn't matter how old you are. There's never a time, it's never too late to become the servant that you're called to be. And I think now is just the right time. Now is the perfect time. All you have to do is tell God how sorry you are. Ask your spouse, your children, your boss, whoever it is that you're called to serve, to forgive you for the things you've done and not done, and start over. It's a new day. You can start over right now. It's never too late to be a servant that loves. It's never too late. And for me personally, I know what I've been called to do, and that's why I'm here. I've been called to serve you, and that's why I'm here. I was blessed to have been able to serve my mother and brother before they passed away. I was able to meet my biological parents. I was blessed to serve my children and my community, the people I served in the capacity as a nurse, a teacher. What I would like to leave you with is this. You must first learn to love yourself, love God, and love yourself before you can love another human being. You must realize the privilege that you've been given to serve. You must take care of yourself so that you can serve adequately and purposefully. And I think that we forget that a lot. We forget to take care of ourselves, or we disregard the value of taking care of oneself. It goes without saying how important this is, because if you don't take care of yourself, how can you really take care of another person? God will also judge you for the way you take care of yourself. You know, the way you value the life that he's given you. So that leads up to our next topic in the love series, which is self-love. It's so important. So thank you so much, folks, for joining me today on Journey to Your Higher Self. I'm your host, Crystal Melville. And I pray that today that you will go forth with a new and fresh mindset about serving. About serving God and others. Because this is what it means to be a servant that loves, loving God and loving others. So thank you so much, and I will see you again on Journey to Your Higher Self. Bye, friends.